This reading this evening before the lesson was taken from Habakkuk chapter 3. I'll be reading verses 17, 18, and 19 of the New American Standard. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, so the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, so the flock may be cut off from the field, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills.
Well, good evening, everyone. Good to see each and every one of you. Always thanks for these opportunities that we have to open up God's Word and certainly study it and learn something from it. Our book of the month has been Habakkuk. We've had an overview lesson, we've had a lesson on patience and endurance, and we've had a lesson on the woes to Babylon that I think can be woes to individuals as well, is that there are certain things that if we get involved in, I don't think a nation, an individual, a business can stand doing such things, at least in the long run. But our last lesson, we're going to be focusing on the closing idea that Habakkuk really leaves us with, which coming from verse 17, though the fig tree may not blossom. Habakkuk, as we've studied, is in a hard situation, and just trying to overview the book, even though there's only three chapters, is Habakkuk's in a hard spot, and he's got some questions for God. And in the first few verses in chapter 1, he says, God, how long are you going to let this violence and injustice go on in the land in which I live? I believe he's talking about Judah. I believe he's talking about the southern kingdom. Really, it's supposed to be God's people, and Habakkuk's looking around, he says, God, there's violence all around me. God, there's injustice all around me. How long is this going to go on? And God gives him an answer, starting in verse 5 in chapter 1, and really going on. And he says, you know what the solution is? The Chaldeans. The Babylonians are coming. The Babylonians are on their way in the future. And he says, the Babylonians are really going to take out and take Judah into captivity. Take that southern kingdom into captivity where Habakkuk is there at the moment. How long, Lord, is this violence going to continue? And he says, don't worry, the Babylonians are going to come. And the Babylonians are going to take the southern kingdom into captivity. Then Habakkuk's got some more questions for God. He says, God, how can you use the Babylonians? How can you use the Chaldeans? You're a righteous God. How could you use such a wicked people to really discipline us? How could that happen? And then God says in chapter 2, he says, I know that the Babylonians are wicked, and I know what the Babylonians are involved in, and their day will come, but their day is not today. Really, when we get into chapter 3, Habakkuk has asked two questions, and God has given him two answers. And these are really hard answers in some respects. On a physical perspective, is that God has said, where you live is corrupt, as you say. And the Babylonians are going to be coming your way. And I think we understand that Habakkuk is in a hard spot. And I think when we look at chapter 3, what we're going to see is a prayer and a psalm. And many times when we see prayers and psalms, we really see the emotion of the individual. And I think we're going to see some emotion from Habakkuk. We're actually going to see that he's afraid. And I think if we can just try to put ourselves in Habakkuk's situation for a moment, I think we can relate to that. If God just told you that a massive force that you are not going to be able to hold back because God is not going to intervene on your behalf, and where you live is going to be destroyed, and those people are going to be taken away as captives, that is going to be hard news for you to hear. And Habakkuk gets that news. Habakkuk, in my mind, is basically staring down the Babylonian army at this point. Because God says they're coming. And if God says they're coming, they are going to come. He, in my view, is a man standing in a corrupt nation, and he is staring down the Babylonian army. What a scene. Certainly, this man has some emotion. Certainly, this man has some things to reflect on. Certainly, this man has to end up in a spot, and we're going to see where he ends up. In chapter 3, where we're going to focus tonight, we're going to focus on some things that come out from the text. Number one, it appears Habakkuk is afraid. Or at least his song and prayer is reflected of some people that are going to hear Habakkuk's message and believe it about the Babylonians coming. When you look at verse 2, I believe you'll see perhaps some of this fear that's described. It says, the prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. Verse 2, it says, O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your works in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. See, I think Habakkuk can see the Babylonians coming. He can see it through the eyes of faith. God has said that they're going to come. He knows they're coming. And it says in verse 2, he's afraid. There's some fear there. Now it does say, Lord, I've heard your speech and was afraid, because I think by the end of the chapter, we find out where Habakkuk's at mentally, is he's saying, I'm going to be faithful to God. It doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter what I have to endure. It doesn't matter what is on my doorstep. I am going to be faithful to the Lord. But if you look at verse 2, he says, Oh Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. You know, I think Christians, servants of the Lord, I think servants of the Lord, Old Testament and New Testament, sometimes we're going to be in hard spots where we're going to have to make a determination, where does our faith lie, where does our confidence lie, and I think Habakkuk is going to make his decision by the end of chapter 3. But he does say in verse 2, I am afraid. If you skip down to verse 16, look at what else Habakkuk says. He says, when I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones. I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he who will invade with his troops. Habakkuk says, I see the army. I see the army that is coming, that God has said is coming. And you know what he says about his body? He says, my body trembles. My lips quiver, almost like you couldn't talk. Have you ever been delivered some news where you didn't even feel like you could talk in that moment? Have you ever been in a moment where it felt like you couldn't even stand with the news that you were just told? It just like sucks your energy out of you and just feels like you're going to fall down. Christian servants of the Lord are sometimes put in hard situations. And when we're put in these hard situations, it's not that Christians and servants of the Lord don't have emotions. We do have emotions. We see Habakkuk says, I'm afraid. He says, when I think about this and I consider this, my knees are weak. My stomach is sick. I can't talk. I'm sick to my stomach. And you know what? If you try to put ourselves in this situation, I think we can understand that. Habakkuk has some fear. He has some very real emotions about what God has told him. He says, I don't quite have a voice. I don't feel like I can talk. I feel like my stomach is sick. I'm afraid. He has questions for God. He's got the answers, and these answers he is trying to roll over in his mind. And I think we see that he is going to roll this over in his mind. I know the Babylonians are not there yet, but I think he can see the Babylonian armies with his eyes of faith. Just as Noah, he could see that flood coming, couldn't he? How could Noah see this flood coming? Because God told him. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Noah didn't actually physically see the flood until it was there, but God told him that flood was coming, and you know what? Noah acted like the flood was coming. And you know what? I think Habakkuk, when he gets this news about the Babylonians that are coming, he is going through the emotions of understanding what this means for him and also the people of Judah. You think people are going to be killed? You think families are going to be ripped apart? You think this is going to be a pleasant experience for Judah? Oh, Habakkuk knows very well what's coming, and it makes his stomach sick. It makes his knees quiver. You know what? There are going to be times in our lives where we're going to have news come our way, or we're going to have some hardship come our way, and it's not necessarily going to be the Babylonian army marching towards us. It could be cancer. It could be the news of someone dying that we love. You and I are probably not going to face down the army of Babylon But we are going to be in situations very similar where some news is going to come our way that's going to be very hard to hear, that even stirs up an emotion that really is trying to suck the wind out of us. Habakkuk's got some things to sort out. I really do believe that the Bible tries to teach us to have faith and not fear. Doesn't mean that as humans we're not going to have moments of weakness and we're not going to have moments of struggle. I think we can see fear here in verses 2 and 16. Now between 2 and 16, it seems like to me that what Habakkuk starts to do, he starts to think about God. He starts to think about God's mighty work. He starts to think about what God has done in the past and how God has delivered people in the past. He's going to think about God. He's got some hard news. You know what he's going to do? He's going to think about God. And I think when we get hard news in our lives, that's what we must do. We must say, this is hard news. This is hard news for me, and I'm going to go through some of the emotions of it. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start thinking about God. And that's what Habakkuk's going to do. He's going to think about God and everything that he has done for Israel, how he has delivered God's people again and again and again. He's going to start thinking about God. But we're going to have some storms in this life. There's no doubt about it. And I think when these storms come, as hard as they may be, I think God wants us to have faith and not fear. I'm not saying that fear is not going to pop up in our lives, but we need to kind of swat it down and remember God, remember the God that we serve, remember our spiritual blessings, and remember those things. I remember in Matthew chapter 8, there's an interaction there where Jesus is caught in a boat in a storm. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 and following, the Bible says this. It says, now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? I think there is a correlation between faith and fear, and I think it's something that we do have to work on as Christians. We have to work on our faith, and as our faith grows, I think our fears are decreased. And I think Habakkuk is going to go through a struggle here, but I think he has some of the strongest words at the end of chapter 3 about his faith and his confidence in the Lord. When you really understand his situation, when he ends chapter 3, I think those are some of the most powerful words in relation to his faith and confidence in the Lord. He knows the Babylonians are coming. He knows he's going to get caught up in the middle of this thing. And we see his words of confidence in the Lord. I think our faith needs to grow so that we have less fear. Jesus said to them on that boat, he said, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? As our faith grows, I think our fears decrease. I think our faith and confidence needs to be in our Lord and Savior who will deliver us, who will provide a safe place spiritually, and where we will be delivered eternally. You know, there are some things, I'm still growing, but there are some things that don't bother me anymore because my faith has grown. You know, they don't bother me as much as they used to. You know, as my faith has grown, death does not bother me as it used to. I hope you get to that point as well, that your faith grows, whereas your faith grows, your fear decreases less and less in relation to these things. As I have lived the Christian life, as I've studied the Word, my faith has grown, and that has reduced some of my fears. I'm not the same I was when I first became a Christian. I have less fear and anxiety about death than when I first became a Christian. You know, there are certain things that I don't worry about and stress about as much anymore because I'm a Christian. I don't worry as much about the government. I think we live in a great country and we should abide by Romans chapter 13, but when it's all said and done, I'm more about my citizenship in heaven than I am about my citizenship in this physical earth. There are some things about our government that don't stress me as they used to. Death doesn't stress me like it used to. The news doesn't stress me like it used to. There are certain things that don't bother me quite as much because I'm a Christian and my faith has grown, and as my faith has grown, some of those fears have decreased. As we look at Habakkuk, I think we do see fear. And I think we're going to see him sort this out throughout chapter 3, and he's going to get to a point of faith and confidence in the Lord. And I think a point needs to be driven home here is that we can trust in the Lord in any crisis. doesn't matter if war comes, we can trust in the Lord. It doesn't matter if cancer comes, we can trust in the Lord. It doesn't matter if death knocks on our door, we can trust in the Lord. And Habakkuk is in a hard spot here, where really the only hope, the only confidence he can really have is in the Lord. After you see this acknowledgement of fear in verse 2, really I would say between, as we look at Habakkuk there, between verses 2 and verse 16, really what we see is Habakkuk in his prayer or song, he kind of goes on this journey where he starts to reflect on the God that he serves and God's past power and deliverance and might in respect to Israel. And we're not going to read every verse this evening, but I think verses 12 and verse 13 kind of summarize what he goes through in this thinking process. It says, "You marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck." What's he talking about? He's talking about the Lord. And really, when you think about Israel and how far they've come, where did Israel start? We start all the way back with Abraham. And if we remember, Abraham was promised a son, and he was really too old to have a son. And what did God give him? God gave him a son. We see God's providence. We see God working in Abraham's life to have the Israelites so that we can eventually get to Jesus, the Messiah. But we have Abraham and Sarah, and they have Isaac, and we see that providential care of that family. Isaac and Rebecca. And we see that we keep going down through the family. We get to Jacob, which his name's been changed to Israel. We have Joseph, who's born the favorite son of Jacob, and he gets sold into Egypt. And Joseph, when his brothers come down, he says, "I know you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good." And really it was, because their whole family is saved from a famine because Joseph is in Egypt and he's managing all the food. We see God's providential care. We see how God moves nations for the Israelites. We see how God providentially cared for them when they were in the wilderness and made sure they had the food and water that they needed. These are some of the things that Habakkuk reflects on in chapter 3. He reflects on God. He reflects on his might. He reflects on his deliverance. He reflects on how God has taken care of his people. And his conclusion is going to be, if God has taken care of his people in the past, God will take care of me. Even though the Babylonian army is marching right towards me. Even though there is no chance of escape. Sometimes good people get caught in the middle of bad situations. You don't think we have brothers and sisters in Christ in Ukraine? That's some Christians caught in a hard situation. You know, you can even go in the path of our nation. Sometimes I like to think about these situations and think, what would be a Christian response in this situation? What should a Christian do? Because I think it tests us, because we're supposed to grow to the point where we can discern between good and evil. I think we should be able to drop ourselves and spot from history and say, what should a Christian do in this type of situation? But what would you do during the Civil War? You don't think Christians got caught up in the Civil War? I'm talking about members of the Lord's Church. You don't think members of the Lord's Church got caught up in the Civil War? You don't think members of the Church were around the time of the Revolution and had to make decisions based on Romans 13 and other things? I'm sure they had a lot on their mind as they were considering all the things that were going on. There's a lot of things to consider. Habakkuk's in a hard situation, and Habakkuk, one of the things, I acknowledge there's some fear there in this one, there is some sickness, but when he really considers in chapter 3, he really considers God's might, his deliverance, how God has been there for them every step of the way. And I think we have to remember that as well, if we ever receive any hard news, is that I need to consider the God that I serve, his might, his deliverance, and those types of things. David, when he was running away from Saul, which certainly I don't think David really wanted to do that. When you look at David and you look at his background, he's best friends with Saul's son and he serves Saul faithfully. He's married to one of Saul's daughters. I think the last thing on David's list is to run away from his father-in-law who's trying to kill him. But he does. He has to run. And he's on the run for a large period of his life. And one time, in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 2 and 3, David says this as he escapes from Saul. He says, and he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you saved me from violence, so shall I be saved from my enemies. David's on the run. He's on the run from his own father-in-law. And David gives all credit to God and says, God is delivering me. In this life, you can face many things. Do you want to be delivered? You want everything to work out in your life? You want it to all work out? Faithfulness is your guarantee. That's your guarantee. If you're faithful to God, it will all work out. That's your guarantee. Faithfulness provides us permanence. You want everything to work out? Be faithful to the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord in the good times. Be faithful to the Lord in the hard times. When that hard news comes, when the Babylonian army is walking your way, when cancer is walking towards you, when death is walking towards you, be faithful to the Lord. It all works out. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it talks about us being called according to His purpose and that all things work together for good to those who know God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Habakkuk has some fears. Habakkuk in chapter 3, he reflects on how God has delivered Israel time and time again. And once we get to verse 17, he's coming to his conclusion now, I believe. He's had some fear. He's asked some questions. Really, when you read verses 3 through 15, you really see he is reflecting on how God has delivered them time and time again, how God is mighty, how God is powerful. In verses 17 through 19, I think he's really making a statement, which I understand that this is a prayer. A lot of times when we get to 17 through 19, many individuals believe that this is actually a psalm. What does Habakkuk say, taking all this into consideration? Taking into consideration that he knows the Babylonian army is coming, what does he say? He says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on high hills. Habakkuk, I think, in not so many words, is saying, it doesn't matter what comes, I'll be faithful to the Lord. It doesn't matter if the fig tree doesn't blossom. It doesn't matter if I don't have crops. It doesn't matter if I don't have this. It doesn't matter if I don't have this. Basically, he's describing about the worst situation you possibly have, but he says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He understands he has this spiritual blessing that we talked about this morning. He understands he has that. If he has this spiritual blessing, the circumstances don't necessarily matter so much. He's staring down the Babylonian army and he says, it doesn't matter what comes, I'll be faithful to the Lord. Do you think that this is the only man, woman in the Bible that has made such a statement, such a decree? You know, it reminds me of a lot of individuals in the Bible. It reminds me of Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel chapter 3, you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are in Babylon, and King Nebuchadnezzar has made a statue and says, everybody needs to bow down to the statue. Whenever we play the music, everyone bows down. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say no. They get a special meeting with King Nebuchadnezzar. And King Nebuchadnezzar says, basically, I'll give you a second chance. I'll give you a second chance. I'm going to play that music again. And you know what you guys need to do? You need to bow down. And you know what those young men had to respond. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 and following, Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 and following, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. See, in my mind, Habakkuk and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're kind of in the same spot. Their backs are against the wall. They're in a very hard spot, and they have a choice whether they're going to respond in fear or they're going to respond in faith. And I can tell you, if you can respond in faith in hard times, what an example that sets for the world. What an example that sets for the world when cancer comes our way and we stand and we say, we're going to stand here with faith and we're not going to stand here with fear. When a hard situation comes into our lives and we stand there firmly in faith and not fear. See, that's what Habakkuk is doing. Can you not see the thing? The Babylonian army is marching his way. There's not going to be really an escape really for him. I believe he's going to be taken into captivity. He's going to be caught up in this mess, I believe. And he says, I'm going to stand here with faith. It doesn't matter how many men they send. It doesn't matter what they do to me. I will stand and faith. Can you see it? Can you see the faith of Habakkuk? This stand of faith has not only been made by Habakkuk, it's not only been made by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's been made by many people throughout the Bible, if you just look. Individuals that have their back against the wall, where they can respond in fear, and they can respond in faith. And we see it all throughout the Bible as we open our eyes, and will we follow in those footsteps? I will be faithful, come what may. I will be faithful, come what may. God, if He doesn't deliver me in this moment on this physical plane of life, I know I will be delivered spiritually. And see, isn't that what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say? They said, our God might not deliver us in this physical moment, but we're still going to do what's right. And I think Habakkuk's in the same place. He says, I might not get delivered from this. When the Babylonians come, I might not get delivered from this, but I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. Though the fig tree may not blossom, I will be faithful. What a blessing it is to have the Lord on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans chapter 8, verse 31. In Psalm 23 and verse 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We have a man that's staring down the Babylonian army. In my opinion, he only flinches but twice. I'm not saying he doesn't flinch. I'm not saying he doesn't have some fear. But the man is staring down the Babylonian army, and he flinches but twice. Because he says, I am a man of faith, and I will stand against whatever comes, come what may. He's a man caught in the middle. And sometimes I think as Christians, as servants of the Lord, we'll be caught in the middle and we'll have to be determined to say, I will serve the Lord no matter what comes. But I think in chapter 3, as Habakkuk sorting all this out, I think he comes to the conclusion he has a Savior. He has a deliverer. And when you have a Savior, when you have a deliverer, that can certainly change your attitude and the way that you see life. I think Paul understood that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he talks about, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, for you are still in your sin. But he gets to the end of chapter 15, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He says, if Jesus rose from the dead, if Jesus is our deliverer, if He is our Savior, it doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter if the Babylonian army comes. It doesn't matter if death comes. It doesn't matter if cancer comes or any matter of hardship and adversity. If we stand with the Lord, we will be delivered. If not this life, the next. But the message is, be faithful. Would you be willing to say what Habakkuk said as he's in this very hard situation? Would you be willing to say, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hill. I do think we live in blessed times and very good times, but if the bad times ever come, let us be faithful. Let us be faithful. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, It says there, do not fear any of the things that you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Be faithful. Be faithful like Habakkuk. Be faithful like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Come what may. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way we can this evening if you come, if you stand, if you stand.